Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, where we delve into topics that bridge wellness and science for the skin, gut, mind, body, and soul. This podcast is brought to you by Gvome, where we believe that each of us has a unique ecosystem and path to reach our full vitality.
I'm your host, Dr. Raja Sivamani, an integrative physician and an Ayurvedic practitioner. Gvome is the notion that our jiva, the Sanskrit word for vitality and the essence of life, merges with our many ecosystems that compose our biome to form our unique jivome. This podcast is meant for educational and informational purposes only. None of the information presented here are a substitute for professional medical care, and this podcast does not constitute medical advice. If you have a medical concern, please consult with your physician.
We're talking today about breastfeeding and also postpartum depression with Dr. Stephanie Canali. And she's at the Department of Family Practice in UCLA. And she does a lot of work around breast milk nutrition, but also talks about postpartum depression. Welcome to our podcast today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, you know, I wanted to jump right into it. I mean, we have so much information about breastfeeding and, you know, being a really a good mother with making sure breast is best. And so can you talk a little bit about maybe the underbelly of when breastfeeding doesn't work out the way we plan it to? You know, what kind of pressures do moms take on, and what are some of the things that you end up seeing when it comes to moms struggling with that next step after they give birth?
Well, I'm very grateful to take care of a lot of moms and babies. So I'm in family medicine, and I'm also a mother of two. So what I've seen happen over the last, I'd say, even 4 to 5 years just recently is there's a huge societal pressure on breastfeeding. You know, a lot of scientific data says breast is best because microbiome, because of immunoglobulins, because less ear infections, less allergies, and so forth. And so that all leads to more and more and more and more pressure to breastfeed. You know, most babies born in large hospitals, especially in LA, UCLA hospitals are baby friendly, which means there's no formula given unless the parents ask for it. There's no pacifiers, and it's all about bonding and so forth, which I think just leads to more stress. So I see more and more and more so that moms are coming in, you know, after a couple days after they've had the baby and the baby's coming in for a weight check, where, you know, there's kind of still in a little bit of awe and they're still tired and so forth. And what I'm seeing happen more is that, you know, it's sort of expected the first couple days, right? Mom's tired. She could be crying here and there. She hasn't slept. Okay. Baby's not sleeping. But it's on month 2, 3, 4. And that's where I'm seeing higher rates of not only postpartum depression, but a lot of anxiety. Because I think a lot of women don't like to talk about this. And I say this from personal experience. I did not like talking about the fact that I did not enjoy breastfeeding. I did it with both of mine. Both of my kids also had formula. And I remember with my daughter, who there's 22 months apart, so I had a toddler at home, my second born. I remember literally crying before every feed. And because I knew it was going to hurt, I knew that I had to do this. I knew that I was going to do it, whether, you know, my body agreed or not, it was going to happen. And I really didn't enjoy it. But I saw these pictures of moms, you know, they just whip out their boob and like have this baby on the breast and just make it look like there was zero effort. And it was just a lovely, enjoyable, wonderful bonding experience. And I didn't have that. And so that, of course, made me more sensitive to my own patients. I think in medicine it's just human nature, right? Like when you go through something, you're more attuned to what other people are going to, especially if it's, you know, in the same situation. And I just started to realize, you know, I'm not the only one here. There's a lot of women who don't enjoy it, but boy, do we judge each other about it. So I think if there's one thing women do is judge each other about how they choose to feed their child. I mean, I remember having one of my husband's friends at my home who watched me mix a bottle. I think my son was around 9 months of age. And I got the look of like, you know, how could you give him that? And that was formula, by the way.
Oh, I see.
And I remember thinking, well, you know, I'm doing my best here. You know, I'm working full time. I'm on call. What else can I can't do anything else. Like I'm at my wit's end. So just seeing rates of postpartum depression really skyrocket. And I think it's because I don't think social media is really helping the situation either right now, because I think you see all these, you know, celebrities having their babies and they're so well put together. I mean, even Meghan Markle had a baby a few days ago and her picture was, you know, just so well put together. She's presenting the baby to the world. It's lovely. And I think there's this misconception that it's this lovely, fun time. And women are physically healing, no matter which way they gave birth, no matter what kind of trauma was involved with that. And then it's the emotion. So what I find fascinating is we're learning that certain genes actually get triggered by the hormonal change of delivery. And that makes women much more susceptible to postpartum anxiety and depression. And I think it's really key that we explore these areas more and more, because the message I want to send to some moms is that it is not your fault. There's something mothers do very well. We judge each other and we blame ourselves. And I have a lot of talks with new moms that come into my office, because if it's not one thing, it's the next thing, right? They don't have the perfect, you know, bassinet. Then they're worried about this. Then they're worried about that. Then they're worried. It's always something. But what the common theme and the common denominator in all these conversations is guilt. Moms feel guilty that they're not, you know, holding their baby enough or interacting with their baby enough or, you know, reading the right books, eating the right foods. There's just so much pressure. And so what I've seen happen is a lot of moms come in with so much worry, they're not actually enjoying their babies. Hmm.
Is there something that the partners can do to help a mother in that situation? Because as you're saying this, it brings up some strong emotions for me, because I felt like I totally missed the boat on two of my good friends that were struggling with breastfeeding. They never brought it up. And it was something that, you know, later on, we kind of walked into the conversation, you know, several months down the line. And either as a friend or as a partner, is there something that we should be aware of? Because gosh, I would feel so bad if I made a comment and then, like you said, you know, I'm working, I'm trying to do the best I can, I'm at my wit's end. The last thing I'd want to do is to pile on someone. And so is there something that the people around can do to make the environment a bit more warm and a bit more helpful in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some things that can be done. I think just the basic stuff. So, you know, like the housekeeping, the meal prep and so forth. I'm a big fan of telling, you know, our families that come in to have dad give a bottle at least once a day. I'm also a big fan of doing shifts at night, so both parents aren't up, and making sure that mom has at least, you know, 2 4-hour stretches of sleep, which is hard to do, yeah. You know, and it's just the little things I think that help. So it's having someone help out and clean the house without being asked to do so. Having someone, you know, prep some meals without being asked to do so. Yeah. And also just to check in with mom. And it's not, you know, are you okay? But I think it's presenting the conversation and opening up the conversation from a different perspective of knowing that why certain people have this and certain people don't, we don't know exactly. But when people do, it's not their fault, and they certainly don't choose to do this. And it can creep up on them. So I do think some things are really important is to also support that mom, making sure she's getting dressed every day, making sure she's showering once a day, and making sure she gets out of the house. And I tell my patients, even if you're walking to the end of your driveway, turning around and coming back, because, you know, especially nowadays, I mean, in Los Angeles, we've had a couple of measles cases. So what are we telling new moms more than ever now? Stay at home, don't go anywhere. And it's very isolating. So that doesn't help the situation. So I think if there are ways to say, okay, go get out, and, you know, even if you load up everything in the car and go for a drive around the block and come home, I think it just helps give the sensation, okay, I did something today. Having adult conversation, I think, is so imperative. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not talking about like, oh, hang out with just a mommy and me group and talk to another mom and, you know, it's all about baby talk. I mean, no, come home and engage your partner about, you know, news and just regular events and regular day-to-day stuff. But adult conversation is really important too.
How did you get things to become better for you, just from a personal standpoint? Like, what did you do? And then has that changed the way you talk to your patients about the advice that you give them?
I think I got very real with myself and realized that I can't do it all. And I still struggle with that a little bit nowadays too, but realizing, you know, I'm not going to clean the house, have dinner prepped every day, be a full-time doctor, take call, and try to be the best mom I can. And then realize for me, the important thing was understanding that it really is about quality and not quantity of time you're with your child. And I think that today is probably more than ever, you know, everyone's on their cell phone and stuff like that too. So it's really the bottom line message I have too is I think more than ever, it's important that we tell moms however old your kids are, that self-care is really important. And it's okay to say no. So, you know, if you don't want to, you know, choose your three worst things that you hate doing. For me, it's grocery shopping is number one. So it's like, my husband does all the grocery shopping. I absolutely love grocery shopping. It's picking your three top things you don't like doing and have someone else do them. And I think for a lot of women, a lot of type A women, it is hard to do. We don't like having other people do things for us because it gives us a sense that we can't do it all ourselves.
I mean, there's a lot on your plate too. A lot of us are busy, but I mean, as a mother too, especially in that postpartum period, do you think 3 months is enough as maternity leave to get acquainted to having a baby?
Not at all. I think that, I mean, I took 5 weeks off with my second born, which was a mistake in retrospect, self-induced pressure to return to work. Yeah. I think that by 3 months, most women are starting to feel back to normal physically. At 3 months, that's when a baby first starts to giggle. It first can start to, you know, kind of act in response to your signals. That's when it kind of gets fun. I mean, you know, I joke, but in all seriousness, I mean, I'm not having a third child because it's the 0 to 3 month age range that I think is the toughest thing ever. You know, especially 0 to 2 months, your kid's crying, feeding, or sleeping, that's it. And you wish it was more of the sleeping, and it's usually not the case. It's really stressful. I mean, my number one message to moms is give up three of your big things that you don't like to do that somebody else can physically do. You know, if introducing one bottle of formula today, or you want to use donor milk, one feed, or if you, whatever you want to do, just do it and don't feel guilty about it. Move on. And self-care. And I think that's where a lot of women have no idea where to begin. You know, whether it's just taking a bath, having a cup of tea, I don't know. I mean, a lot of women don't even know what's going to work for them either, but just saying those words. And then as the partner, you know, my advice to them is just take over with certain things. Like, just get it done. Just have the meals ready in the fridge. You know what I mean? Have the house clean. Don't be asked to do it. Just do it. And that will help and so forth. And then just have the normal conversations of just checking in. You know, I've heard a lot of moms go through this. How are you feeling? Or if you're just sitting there, another experience I had, which was really, I remember it like it was yesterday. My son was about 5 days old and sleeping, and my husband and I were sitting down having dinner, and I felt fine, and I just started crying. And I looked at him and I said, I have no idea why I'm crying, because I'm actually happy right now. And I couldn't stop crying. And it was really scary because I was like, why is this happening? But I think that for me, I had never gone through such a hormonal change before. And it was really eye-opening to be like, you know, what the hell is my body doing here? And why is there such a disconnect? That was weird for me to go through that kind of stuff, because I was never, you know, I don't cry all that often, you know? So it was just a weird experience. But I remember that like it was yesterday. And I remember having the moment of thinking, wait a second, like, hormones are doing a lot here. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm not trying to tell parents like, oh my gosh, throw your hands in the air, everything's out of your control. But there's some things that really are out of our control. And I think it's just helping understand that process, which I don't even think as doctors we fully understand.
Yeah, Stephanie, thanks for putting such a humanistic and a human touch to this topic that sometimes gets very intellectualized, and we know the facts and we know the science, but gosh, there's that part of the soul and part of that human nature that we also have to keep track of. And sometimes that is the difference maker in whether we can achieve personal wellness or not and going through, you know, a difficult period. So really appreciate you sharing your experiences and appreciate you coming here and sharing that with all of us.
Thank you.
This is the Holistic Health Podcast brought to you by Gvome, where we believe that cultivating a healthy ecosystem unique to you is important to living vital and living well. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our channel, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at gvome.com. Check out our membership options to take your health to the next level.